Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Are you ready to go a little bit further into Ecclesiastes chapter 7? I hope so. I'm finding this very profitable. The first 14 verses of this chapter are where Solomon gives us four things that are better as far as the benefit they bring to life than the things that people generally pursue to try to find fulfillment and happiness in life. And those kinds of things, like money and so forth, he's analyzed very thoroughly in the first six chapters and found all of them wanting. They can only add any value to life when God is first in your life. Otherwise, they actually become like a weight around your neck that will drag you down to destruction as you're pursuing the wrong thing to find fulfillment when you can only find fulfillment in God. But these things in chapter 7 will help you precisely because they do lead you to God, or if you already have a right relationship with Him, they'll lead you into a better relationship. They'll lead you into a better understanding of God and of His Word. And so they will add value to life, even though they're a little bit surprising. But the four things are number one, sorrow, number two, rebuke, number three, patience, and number four, wisdom. And we are now dealing with the last one, wisdom. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, October 27, and many thanks to those who are willing to help us with the considerable cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Sorrow will do you more good than frivolity. Rebuke will do you more good than an unstressful life. A lot of people try to do everything. Get the stress out of your life. Get the stress out of your life. Doctors tell us to do that. I've often wondered, how is that possible? And of course, it's not possible. There's no way to remove all of the things out of your life that can produce stress. Now, what the doctors are telling us is try to reduce the amount of stress. Try to find those things in your life that are producing stress and do what you can to minimize those. That'll help you. Your stress is killing you, and it will. It does, and it will. Some of it, I've observed, it tends to be sort of a personality thing. Some people just seem to be stressed out all the time. They're nervous about everything. They're anxious about everything. They worry about everything. It's like they're on a tightrope all the time. And other people seem to be more calm. And sometimes that's a personality matter. But come on, let's be honest. In the final analysis, even though there are differences in personality, and some people are more prone to being stressed than others, and some people are more prone to being calm and unstressed than others. Let's be honest that in the final analysis, it's our relationship with God that helps us to trust Him and therefore not be stressed out about all these things that otherwise would stress us out. Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Take no thought. Take no thought. Don't think about these things. Don't worry about these things. Take no thought about what you shall eat or drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Is that true? Yes. Are you a child of your Heavenly Father? Well, only you can answer that. But if the answer is yes, then the question is, do you believe Him? Do you believe that He will feed you? Do you believe that he will clothe you and give you the things that are necessary for life? If you believe that, then why are you so stressed out about these things? You're not putting your faith into action. You're not applying what you say you believe to your life. Trust God. Believe him. Put it in his hands. Recognizing that he cares for you. When our oldest daughter was a little girl and we were trying at an early age to teach her Bible verses and to teach her the Word of God, and we said in our family devotions one day, let's say a Bible verse. And she said, let's say the bunny rabbit verse. We said, the bunny rabbit verse? What's that? You know, he careth for you. Ha 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 ha. That's what she thought it said. He careth for you. No, he careth for you. Old King James English. It trips us up at times, doesn't it? But I must say, since I did nearly all of my memorizing from the King James Bible, many times that's the way it comes to me. I have a hard time relearning verses I've already learned in a particular translation, relearning them in another way. But he cares for you. So casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we really shouldn't be stressed out. We're disobeying our Lord. We're ignoring what he said. We are taking thought for tomorrow and what may come on tomorrow. We're all stressed out about that and what we shall eat and what we shall drink. When Jesus said, don't do that. Trust your Heavenly Father. Cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Do you believe that? He cares for you. And that's what wisdom teaches us. And that's why wisdom is better than money. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, verse 11, and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? Well, we'll stop there. That's verse 13. And how does that relate to what goes before? Well, what it's saying is wisdom relates to God. Wisdom recognizes God's sovereign workings. That's right. Consider the works of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? Now, has it ever occurred to you that God makes anything crooked? Well, evidently he does. A lot of people complain about God in what they see as what's wrong with the world. Why is the world the way it is? Why are there inequalities? Why is there poverty? Why is there sickness? Why is there war? Why is there crime? Why is there this? Why is there that? In other words, why all these crooked things in this world? Why aren't they straight? If God's a God of love and God's a God of power, if he's really omnipotent and he's really loving, then why do we have all these crooked things in this world? Well, there's two answers to that question, and the one we usually give is, it's because of sin. God didn't make it that way, but we sinned. Adam sinned in the garden and plunged the whole human race into sin, and we have seconded his sin as quickly as we could. It's like Adam made the motion, and we second it and voted for it, and we're still doing that. We are born sinful. We're born sinners because of the sinful nature that we inherit from our father Adam and the sinful nature that became his nature when he sinned. And we follow in our father Adam's footsteps just as quickly as we can. We run to sin. We delight in sin. So that's one answer to the question, why are there all these things in this world? But it's also clear to everybody, I think, that a lot of the things that happen to us in this world, though they may be related to sin, they're not necessarily related to my sin. Some things we know are. We ignore the Word of God and overindulge in alcohol and become addicted to alcohol and we suffer the consequences, and we can't blame God for that. God isn't the one who brought you to this bad health. Your drinking did. And yet, having said that, we also recognize that God is sovereign. And so, even though there's a sense in which we, because of our sin, have brought these things upon ourselves, God didn't create it that way in the beginning, it's also obvious that if God wanted to change it, he could, if he is omnipotent. So if he is loving, if he is gracious, and if he has the kind of power that he claims to have, then why doesn't he change these things? Why does he allow them to go on? In other words, why does he make things crooked? Because in the final analysis, we have to admit that he does. Why are some people born with defects, birth defects? Well, the Bible tells us that God takes responsibility for that. I made the mouth when Moses complained to God that he couldn't do the job that God was calling him to do because he didn't speak well. He apparently had some kind of a speech impediment. We don't know what it was. Did he stutter? What was it that caused him to say he couldn't speak well? And God's response was, hey, who made your mouth? I did. Even with that speech impediment? Yep. In other words, back to Ecclesiastes, God makes things crooked. Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? And the answer is, if God wants something to be what we would consider to be crooked, then we can't straighten it out. And it's clear from Scripture that God does intend for some things to be crooked for a time. He's going to straighten them all out eventually. Everything's going to be straightened out eventually. Every crooked thing is going to be made straight. Every wrong thing is going to be made right. Every injustice is going to be dealt with. Every inequity is going to be solved. All of that's coming in the proper time. There's coming a time when this world is going to be redeemed. The curse is going to be lifted. It's going to be a perfect world once again, as God made it in the beginning. But until that time comes, dear friend, who can make straight what God made crooked? For example, we hear so much about poverty and hunger. We've been in America, we have been in a war on poverty for I don't know how many decades, and we still haven't eliminated it. In fact, if we believe the statistics that are thrown our way, it hasn't gotten one bit better in spite of the expenditure of trillions of dollars now over the years. And it hasn't made the percentage of people in poverty any lower than it was. Now, there are some political things behind that, so I'm not going to get into that, but it really gets down to what is said here. Who can make straight what God has made crooked? Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. So you can't eliminate poverty. Try as you might. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be compassionate. You shouldn't help the poor. You should. You're commanded to. But you can't eliminate poverty. You can't make straight what God made crooked. In other words, you need to submit to the sovereignty of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.